last month, we actually had an onsite visit, and then we also heard the item in our planning commission meeting. We're arriving this item much earlier than last month, so that's, I'm sure Chuck's happy about that.
You're not that much here.
We were, it was after 10 o'clock.
So the proposal is for a master plan for a project located in the resort zone. And so this is what's known as the Mountain Spa property. Again, the name of the proposal is Aumiali. Again, the zoning is resort zone. The parcel is 28.87 acres. And the proposed uses, there's a core resort spa building, there's hotel rooms, cottages, duplexes, family lodges, and a presidential suite. And so the overall acreage on the property initially was about 78 acres. Most of the property's been preserved as open space as part of conservation easement and rural preservation subdivision. So we're looking at the core area of this property right now. So with the master plan review, there are really five main items that we're looking at. We're looking at the property in general, water rights, roads, and that would be circulation and access, sensitive lands protection and open space. And there are subcategories of each of those items that we look at that's listed in the code. But generally, we're looking at kind of a 30,000-foot view of the project. So not every detail is worked out at this stage of the process. Once the master plan is approved, we have a phasing plan. And each one of those phases needs to come back for the planning commission and city council for preliminary and final approval. And that's when we work out all the details to each specific item. But we want to make sure that the project is feasible, so these are the main categories that we focus in on at this point in the process. So up on the screen is an outline of just the resort area of the Mount Spa property. You can see it outlined in yellow. Over here on the right was also part of the Mount Spa. It's now been recorded as two large preservation lots. And then on the north end is also area that was included in the original plan, and that has been recorded as two large preservation lots also. And that's created this open area along Bergy Lane and also along River Road. So as people, residents and those visiting our community drive in, they'll have views across these properties to see the mountains. So that was definitely a major gain from the county, from Midway, from also the developer's perspective, being able to preserve these areas. It left us open space for grazing and also for agricultural uses. Here's a closer view of the property. Again, we're looking at what's outlined in yellow. Again, those open areas that have been preserved are located to the north and east. Then a closer view. And the property that is outlined in yellow, we have the old resort area where the trees are located, and then we have some structures in this area. Then there's also a sensitive lands area located in the center of the property. Kind of ringed around that sensitive lands area is where the resort will be built. We have access coming in from the north and also access from the south. So here's the site plan, and this has changed from our last review a month ago to address some of the concerns that had been identified. So just going over the site plan, you can see Bergy Lane here on the north. You would drive in from the north. This would be the main entrance. And then there's the core building. And this area has a spa, there's geothermal pools, there's a restaurant, there's a rooftop grill and bar, and there's a conference center in this building. And then here in the center, these are hotel buildings. These units, none of them have kitchens. There's 10 in some buildings, 8 in others, down to 6 in some of them. These are the cottages located in this area here. Those units don't have kitchens either. There's a lockout for each building, so if somebody owned one of those buildings, they'd be able to rent out each side to different groups, or somebody could rent both sites and have two rooms that would connect together. And then there's this presidential suite up here in the corner. Down in this area are the duplexes, and those are two full dwelling units with a lockout. So somebody could purchase one of those, and they could be put, that unit could be in a rental pool. Somebody possible that somebody could live in those units. We don't have a way as a city of requiring those to be in a rental pool. It's possible that through the CCNRs, the HOA could do something along those lines. We've determined as a city, that's not something that we have the ability to do, is require somebody to rent their unit. There's also two family lodges, one on each side of this blue rectangle. The idea behind those is kind of a larger family group or group would be able to rent those units. There's multiple bedrooms in them. And so there's a variety of different product type for renting, and that's what we found over time, is that different groups are in different situations, so it's good to have a variety of rentable units. So I think this plan does a good job of creating that variety. There's some amenities with this site plan. So you can see number 7 here. There's some water amenities that would be used in this area. It's also the geothermal pools up by the main core building. So those are the main water resources. There has been some geothermal exploratory drilling that has happened on site. So the idea is that they would use the water from underneath the ground as a non-consumptive use for that water. So they'd use the geothermal water, the heated water on site, and then they would put that water back into the ground, is the idea behind that. And so there is some permitting through the state engineer's office for that to happen. And so they've started along that process. They do have some water experts that have been hired to help along with making sure that's a feasible option for the development. They are well underway for that. Here in the middle is the sensitive lands area. In our last meeting, we had a tour of the site. There's a couple of large craters that kind of dominate the center of this area. Then there's some smaller ones that are located also down in this area on the kind of the southeast corner. Initially, we had some buildings that were located in this area. Those have been pulled off the plan. We did have a map that showed this as kind of a preserved area, so that is being preserved as open area. The one structure that will remain is a pop rock building that's located in the center, and we saw that as we went on site. That will be restored, and that's one of the requirements as part of the conservation easement for that building to be restored. Just interestingly enough, there is we did receive a geotechnical report and then a ground sonar report, and there is this hollow area underneath this section of the southeast corner. So you'll notice that will be left open, but it is a unique feature that is really interesting that's on site at the mountain spa. Setback-wise, we do have a 100-foot setback that's required by the code for the resort zone, and so that has been included here on the south end and also on the west end, and then we do have a 100-foot setback from the Lacey Lane boundary also. So any property that was part of the master plan for the mountain spa, we don't have that 100-foot setback, but anywhere that was not part of the original mountain spa approval, we do have that 100-foot setback. Here's another view of the site plan. This is showing the square footages for each of the different types of uses and buildings. They do have a maximum square footage amount of about 250,000, and so they're underneath that. And the number of rooms, this is the number of overall bedrooms. So again, some of these rooms are located within the duplexes, for instance, so they're not their own unit. It does equal 237. And if all of those were in a rental pool, that would help us quite a bit regarding our resort zone tax that we talk about quite often before the Planning Commission and City Council. So if they are in a rental pool, it could benefit the city financially for quite a few years. So these are all new maps that have been updated since our last meeting. This is the open space map, and required with resort zone is 55% open space. So we've gone through and revised the plan to make sure that it's matching the code, and this plan does appear to match the code. Everywhere in green does count as open space, and they are just above the 55% mark. And so they do meet that requirement. That was something that we looked at our last meeting and something we needed to address, and that has been addressed now. This map shows overall there has been a lot of open space created that's beyond the resort core area. So again, a conservation easement was placed on this rectangle right here, and also on this rectangle right here. So there are gonna be four homes in this area, but the original plan approved back in 2007, there were about 68 homes in that yellow area, and that's been reduced down to just a few homes.
Well, where are the roads for those?
For these?
Yeah, for the homes, do the, what do they act, which road do they egress on?
So this first lot is located right here, and it fronts on 200 East, and so their direct access is from 200 East. This lot right here has an, it's, this property is all under one ownership, but they basically have a driveway easement across their own property to the building site, which is located right here. So they do have access from River Road. The two lots on the north, there's almost a 6-acre lot right here, and there's a driveway easement crossing the northern lot along this boundary line. And then the last lot, the building site is right here, and it shares that same access. So they just have driveways, or they have direct access from the road. This map shows the highest points, and so it's kind of difficult to see on this and on this drawing, but if I remember correctly, this is right at 35 feet, that's the maximum height. And over here, I think it's 33 feet. So, and there was some questions about the height of those buildings. There is a possibility of going up to 55 feet in the resort zone regarding maximum height. As part of the memorandum of understanding between Summit Plain Conservancy, who holds the conservation easement on the property, really the city also with the developer, the maximum height is at 35 feet for roofs. Again, architectural features can go above that line, but it, the plans show that we will be within 35 foot height limit. So this is difficult to see also, but we have some pages regarding parking, the parking plan, and that was another concern we had from our last meeting. We do have quite a bit more information regarding parking at this point. One thing is we have an overall count of what parking would be required. But with resorts, there's usually a reduction in parking based off of multiple uses using the same parking stall. So for instance, if somebody comes and stays in one of the hotel rooms, most, it's likely that for some of their meals, they'll actually go to the restaurant. But they won't need two parking spaces for one vehicle. And so the idea is you reduce the overall parking count because you'll have mixed uses or combined uses for one parking stall. So generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, but the reduction ends up being kind of in the 40 to 50% range, possibly 60% range, based off of really resort analysis of how many parking stalls you need.
Looking at peak day, peak hour, shift.
Yeah. We went through a similar study with Homestead, the Homestead Resort, and there they did have a significant reduction, again, based off of actual examples around the country for resorts, and you really don't need parking for every use because there's so many combined uses based off of those, going to the resort and going to the different amenities and restaurants on site. So this plan does show the different parking areas. It shows all the parking stalls. The one thing I want to take note of is these grayed out areas. Really, those stalls are in tandem. So you have one stall in front of another. The idea is those grayed out areas are for valet parking. And so our code doesn't allow valet parking. It doesn't specifically state it, but it doesn't allow it as it doesn't meet our parking requirements. So those stalls are actually listed as extra stalls above and beyond what's normally required. So this is extremely difficult to see. This is the parking analysis. I'm gonna zoom in on this section right here. And basically, I'll have Paul explain this, but what's been done here is we have the different buildings and how many parking stalls are required for those buildings. And then we go through